I think to make a better society and to give the children more possibility to develop in their own way, we need to realize that life is not about effect, let's say, not about financial effect, not about career. It's about life. It's living together and make a wonderful society together in which everyone can flourish and every child can develop their talents. By intuition, they know life is about other things. It's about being happy because they can express their talents, because they can do something worthwhile for the society, and they are respected for it, and they are valued for it. And if a child feels valued and respected, it grows.
Welcome everyone to Planetary Makeover, where our focus is creating a world that works for everyone. In this episode, we're broadcasting a video version of an earlier podcast. It features our co-host, Diana Gold Holland, interviewing a Dutch specialist in therapies for highly sensitive children. Let's all put on our thinking caps and tune in now to learn for ourselves about the latest generation that's incarnated on Earth and how we can best appreciate these little representations of what's to come and a glimpse into our own futures.
We have done a previous show with Annemiek, who is a natural healing therapist in Holland who specializes in therapies for highly sensitive children. So the previous show was called Welcome the Little Ones, and during that program we talked quite a bit about parenting and education, which topics we will further expand today, and about how the energies of this age, the age of Aquarius that is just now dawning, are influencing the awareness of children today. What do children and teenagers need to flourish?
The first thing children and teenagers, and in fact all of us, need is an atmosphere of love. And by that I mean that the adults are sensitive to the children and are aware that they are emotional persons with a lot of feelings, with a lot of ideas, and they have to feel they can be whoever they are and be whatever they are. They are accepted the way they are, without prejudice. And if they are living in an atmosphere of love, the positive thing is, the very positive thing is, they don't have a cause for timidity or to be shy or to be cautious. They just feel they can express themselves the way they want to. They can ask the questions they want to. They can, express themselves just the way they are.
Let's take a slight pause here. We're going to talk about the four basic things that children need to flourish in life. We're going to talk about what it means to be a true teacher today and how to develop two very important things, self-esteem and trust, in both children and parents or teachers. But before I welcome back Annemiek, let me briefly go over the premises of our show for our new listeners. These premises are three. First of all, that humanity is not alone. Second of all, that we have great help at this very crucial time for the evolution of humanity and the history of humanity. And three, that form comes in the help of great teachers, perfected masters of wisdom, who are emerging now onto the world scene to help and guide us during this perilous crossing. And at their head stands the Lord Maitreya. I will spell that for you, Maitreya, the master of all the masters, and also the world teacher for this age, the age of Aquarius that is just now dawning. At the beginning of every age, humanity sends up a cry to the divine, by whatever name you might call it, a cry for help and sustenance, because the energies change from age to age, and we need a new keynote to be sounded. The last keynote came with Jesus the Christ for the age of Pisces, but there have been a whole string of such world teachers who have come all down the ages. We know them as Mithra, Shankaracharya, the Buddha, etc., all of these great teachers from great ages. Maitreya comes now at the head of the age of Aquarius, and he is expected by all the great religions under their name. So the Christ for the Christians, the Messiah for the Jews, the Imam Mahdi for the Muslims, Krishna returned for the Hindus, etc. He comes as all of these ones, enveloping the principle of love on this planet, the Christ consciousness on this planet, but he also comes for people of no religion at all. He comes for, as a modern man concerned with modern problems, problems of starvation, problems of peace, problems of the environment, all of these things that with which we hang in the balance just now. He is here to guide us, and he comes not alone this time, but with a group of several other masters to fulfill this this mission. So, these are the premises. As ever, we provide this information for your consideration only. If it awakens your curiosity, if you want to find out more about the emergence of Maitreya onto the world scene with these other great masters, we invite you to visit the website www.share-international.org, where you will literally find a treasure trove of resources. Listen, let's get right down to it. So that's the first thing. They need an atmosphere of love. What else?
Yeah. The second thing is they really need an atmosphere of patience. And helaas, in the world of today, patience is not always the greatest gift of the adults. We live in a world which has a lot of pressure. Adults have to work a lot, do a lot. Never have time to be patient. And a child may feel the sense of speed, and it may stress them. And it's very important to allow the child to grow and to flourish, that it feels it has all the time to learn the things he wants to learn, all the time to say the things he wants to say, because the adults have all the time in the world. And in fact, we do all have all the time in the world.
Well, we do, but it often feels like we're short of time, short of sleep, short of attention, short of too many things. And I know that a lot of, especially mothers, can feel guilty about this if they happen to snap at their child. But I think that if overall there is this calm attention, obviously, this makes for the child to be able to expand and be themselves. So love, patience, and what else?
What's important very much, too, is an atmosphere of ordered activity. And what I mean by that is that a child from the first day on can be learned a sense of responsibility, not a great responsibility, just a little one he can accept on his age. And by doing that, it will really feel it's part of this world. It's very important to the world, even though it's very little still. And
so you mean things like having perhaps little chores that the child is responsible for in this ordered activity. Is that what you mean, that kind of thing?
Yes, maybe. Or just learning the responsibility to listen to others, to have respect for others, like the adults have respect for her or him.
Okay. And you say there is a fourth condition as well.
Yeah. The fourth condition is the atmosphere of understanding. And by that, I mean that a child is always sure that his reasons and his motives for actions will be recognized. Because if you don't recognize them, you may think, well, the child is naughty. It's doing things it's not allowed to do. But that's our view. And normally a little child has no reason to be naughty. It just is curious. It wants to study things. It wants to try out things. So it will touch everything it can touch. It will maybe, well, you know, when they are very little, they put everything in their mouth. That's not naughty. It's learning. It's their way of learning. And you, if you understand how a little child learns, by touching, by tasting, by maybe making all kind of sounds or yelling or running. If you understand that, it feels it can do it. It can express itself and try out and learn things in its own way, in its own time.
This ever need to experiment, to experience life starts, you
yes.
know, that young. Benjamin Krem, whose works we discuss very often because he has been our main source of information about the emergence and has written many, many books in collaboration with one of the Masters of Wisdom, his own Master of Wisdom, with whom he was in contact 24/7. Benjamin Krem gave the definition of education as this. He said, education should be understood as the means by which the indwelling God is contacted, known, and given expression.
Yes, isn't that beautiful?
I think so, too. It gives it a different perspective. You know, when your child is taking the pots and pans out of the lower cabinets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this I believe, is in one of Mr. Krem's books called The Laws of Life, which covers very, very many topics, including some to do with New Age education. So I recommend that book to you. You can find it in the book section of the Share International website. That is www.share, -international.org. There are many, many books there, and many other books that Mr. Krem has penned that do touch on education as well. This one is called is from a book called The Gathering of the Forces of Light, and that book is a very interesting one. In the whole second section of that book, Mr. Krem talks about education in the New Age. And he talks about our sense of our knowledge growing, our awareness growing in the coming age, and as we come into contact with our own souls more generally. He says that a new vista of possibilities will soon appear as men grapple with the problems of separation and division in the world, and this will release the forces and inspire the techniques of training and teaching, which will bring men in due course to the feet of God. So providing this stable environment for children with love, patience, ordered activity, and understanding is very much a basis of that. And I thank you for highlighting those points, Annemiek. They are absolutely crucial to the discussion. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a quote that I had, Annemiek, that in spite of universal education processes and many centers of learning in every country, we have not yet succeeded in giving our young people the kind of education which will enable them to live wholly and constructively. Now, why is that?
That's because the education up till now has primarily been the organizing of the lower mind. We learn a lot of facts in the schools. We do a lot of memory training. And the facts may not even be real, but it's from the perspective of our society as they write it down. So it's not based on life. It's based on learning of the past, no, learning the past as our educators and our country sees it, and not putting any consequences on it, just learning the facts. Formerly, you remember at school, we had to learn in what year, what happened. Well, I really didn't remember any year because it seemed of no importance to me. Good education, real education, has to deal about life. How to live a life, what's important in life, how to connect with other people, how to live with respect for other people and for yourself, and how to get the possibilities of living all your possibilities. And that would be lovely, because up till now, I think a lot of potential is wasted. I think when children are born, they really know what they come to do here. They really know what they're here for. But as they all follow the same system of education, I think when they're about 18 years old or maybe earlier, they've totally forgotten what they came to do here. And then we only hope that their parents give them more space to grow.
Well, of course, there's a problem with that, because in some ways we have, or at least up until now, we've very much been educated to be good little workers and especially good little consumers. And so this is not really how to deal with life and relationships and growth and spiritual seeking and all that kind of thing. So there's an issue there. And even in terms of this historical learning. I mean, if we had looked in at the First World War, for example, there's a big celebration of Vimy, 100 years now, 100 years celebration. And yet, have we looked at the First World War to in the larger picture to see what the very big results and consequences are of that, and what purpose did it serve aside from those so many people dying, and especially to learn from the past and figure out how we can handle things better today, and especially with the situation that we are encountering today with all these wars and threats of wars happening. So we really, I believe, I agree with you completely that we need to take a different tack in education. But I think some things are changing. If we look at how the older generation acted out of fear and conditioning, what kind of change do you see as an educator and in working with children and with your UNICEF program? What is changing as far as you see in the philosophy of education?
Well, what I noticed, and especially at the parents who came to me with their children, is that the parents recognize that their child is a unique person with unique gifts and a purpose to live here. And even though school or the society may look at their children because they're trouble, they see it's beautiful, it's special, and it needs its own way of education and its own way of help to develop itself to a fully grown-up person. And I think the parents have more confidence in their child. They are not so ruled by, not so restricted by all kind of rules as our parents were. And I think that's because it's the influence of the new age. Our parents, of course, were of the age of Pisces, and the age of Pisces is about a lot of rules, and it's also about dividing people. And now in the Aquarian age, people are feeling more and more that we're all connected, and that we have to do it together, and we can do it together. And it's not about rules, it's not being and forming organizations, it's being an organism. So if we and our children get the freedom to develop the way they want to, in the way they want to, in their own speed, everything will work out all right.
And Amik, let me just put a little bit of context here for some of our newer listeners. We were talking about education in the age of Pisces, the age that is ending now for the journey that our planet makes around the heavens, and it comes in contact approximately every 2,150 years with a different sign of the zodiac. This is called the precession of the equinox, for those who are familiar with that term. But for most of us, we have heard that the age of Aquarius is now dawning, and this is actually an astronomical fact. Now, Annemiek was referring to the change in energies that we experience. Each sign of the zodiac, of course, has its own particular character, its own particular coloration, and it brings us in contact with very different kinds of energies. So in the age of Pisces, the age of Pisces was an age of great idealism, and that's why we had things like, you know, all of our great institutions of banking and hospitals and schooling and all of these things were all founded on very good ideals to begin with. But now, as the age comes to its end and as those energies are being withdrawn, all of these things, as we well know, are falling apart. At the same time are growing the new energies, the inflow, the influx, the ever more speeding relationship we are coming into with the age of Aquarius. And of course, what is the age of Aquarius? It is an age of brotherhood and synthesis. And so this is why, in this age of brotherhood and synthesis, we are having more and more, as Annemiek says, this understanding that the human family is one and that we are evolving as one group towards our destiny in this age. Mr. Krem says in much of his work, it deals with these new parameters, and he says that, for example, in this new age, most people will become telepathic. This is one of the new gifts that we will develop. According to other literature I've read, people did not necessarily, or very rarely apparently, dreamt in color in the early 1900s. And now, many, if not most of us do, and this has been a development of the human race in this very short period. So it's not surprising to me to hear that we may become a telepathic race during this time because of our understanding of our greater unity as one family. So our children are here to bring us into this new age. Let's get to our topic for this segment, which is talking about the building of trust and the development of self-esteem in young people. Annemiek, as you and I well know, as everybody knows, children today are faced with a lot of very, very serious situations and difficult life situations. We hear of bullying in the schools. We hear of the ferocious competition for places in the better schools. There is the peer pressure to do all kinds of things or not do all kinds of things. They are dealing with a lot. And yet it would seem that society has a lot to do with the creation of this very bad situation for them. What can we say about that? How is society to blame? Where can we take these very serious issues that they're dealing with?
I think the biggest issue is that he has commercialized all life, also the education. And it's happening especially in the more developed countries, and it gives a lot of pressure, not only to children, but also to adults. And children are very sensitive, so they also feel the pressure and the stress of the adults. I think to make a better society and to give the children more possibility to develop in their own way, we need to realize that life is not about effect, let's say, not about financial effects, not about career. It's about life. It's living together and make a wonderful society together in which everyone can flourish and every child can develop their talents. And if they feel they can trust on that, I think you have no problem with children. I think the problems of where adults are talking about of discipline is mostly because children feel that what we are trying to learn them and what they have to be busy with is not the thing they want to be busy with, because they intuitively, how do I say that? By intuition,
right.
They know,
yes,
life is about other things. It's about being happy because they can express their talents, because they can do something worthwhile for the society, and they are respected for it, and they are valued for it. And if a child feels valued and respected, it grows. It grows instantly. It's happy. And it tries to do better all the way, not by pressure, just by supporting its good efforts.
Well, and yet we hear about so many of our very young people taking drugs, drinking, being anorexic, even childhood suicide is on the rise now. There certainly are issues of this nature. So any particular comments on that? Why do you think this is happening?
I think it's happening just for the reasons I just called, Diane, that the children feel they're not living a life worthwhile.
Right.
It doesn't give any satisfaction just to learn facts from the past, to be pushed to do better, to earn a lot, just to have education, to have a career. They need to feel their passion and their passion, their love has to come out, their love for the things they really think is important. And they need a way to express it and to use it in their lives.
So that brings me to, of course, this topic of trust, because if we trust the children to follow their instincts and learn those things that are of interest to them and of practical value, we help them to develop confidence. So
yeah,
how do we learn to trust our children? The problem of trust seems to be at the center of everything.
I think if you don't trust yourself, if you don't have self respect and confidence as an adult, you can't give a child any feeling of trust. It starts all within yourself. So, well, we have a lot of kind of therapies and ways to build up more confidence as an adult. And if you do that, a child will instantly know it. I had an example. Yeah. I heard last week, I spoke to a woman and she told me she had a lot of troubles with her children. And she was following a course in self-development. And she got some advice what to do. She got some meditation. And the moment she came back from the course, she said, all the problems I had with my children were gone. Very typical, but the children felt different. She felt more at ease. She felt more confident. And so there was peace all of a sudden in the family. So you can do a lot of it yourself. I think you only can do it yourself. And you give a good example to the children that if you have confidence, a child thinks, okay, I can have it too. Mom has it too. Dad has it too.
Yeah, Maitreya explains this, that children sense a lot. They are more sensing being than you know, logical beings, which comes much later. And he says that the child senses and takes on the insecurity of the parent, for example, the sadness, and blames itself. You know, when it is feeling sadness or anger projected at it, it wonders, well, what did I do? Did I do something wrong that my daddy is angry or my mom is sad or that kind of thing? So it seems that we really have to be careful of that sensing nature of children.
What I always say to the parents who come in my practice with their children or who come alone to my practice, I always say, get away your dirt, get away your troubles, because you can't help your children if you don't get ready with yourself. You have to be clean of everything, all the experiences you had in your life and which trouble you. You have to let them go. You have to accept them and not paying any attention on it anymore, because your children will feel it. And they will have the same troubles you have, just because, even if you don't want to, you pose your, your programmation on your children again. So you can see in one family the same troubles with the parents, the grandparents, and the children again.
Yeah, Maitreya talks about that in the Laws of Life. He talks about conditioning. The parents are conditioned and they come to raise their own children with little more than their own conditioning. And so that conditioning gets passed down from generation to generation and all the follies that go with it. And the other thing I liked you said about getting rid of all of your issues, Annemieke.
No.
Another thing that Maitreya says is be a clean mirror.
Yeah,
which
that's
is,
a good one.
You know, exactly what you're saying here. He says be a clean mirror. So with this, you know, with this climate of trust, the other thing that Maitreya says is it's extremely important is the development of self-esteem, the sense of self-worth. He says that without this, nothing is possible. So I'd like us to explore this topic, especially because it's the issue of self-esteem, certainly very much in the Western world when we tend to compare ourselves to these airbrushed models and, you know, all of the unrealistic ideals that are presented. It is... The issue of self-esteem is a difficult one. So what in your practice and in your experience, Annemieke, how do you see the issues of self-esteem and building self-esteem in children?
I think when children are born, they are full of self-esteem. They think they're the center of the world, they are perfect as they are, and that's the natural way. So if we, as adults, don't do anything to disturb that, they will keep it. But we have our programmation, and we think we're not okay the way we are because society told us we're not okay we are. And our parents had a lot of criticism on us. So if we want to make a new world, I think the most important thing is that we have to take care that all the self-esteem a little child has keeps it that way. It keeps it that way, it doesn't lose it. We confirm that he's the best that is, and that it's not to be high, how do you know it? High, how do you call that, Diane? Arrogant?
How do you call what?
It's not that a child,
oh.
No arrogance. I don't mean the child is arrogant because it thinks it's okay it is. It's just, it feels it's worthwhile. And that's the most important thing. Because if it does have self-esteem and self-respect, I think it will respect others too. And it will be respectful to other children and other adults. Because, well, he's a mirror to the world too, then. But a clear mirror.
Right. And then you're not dealing with these very problems of hurtful criticism, for example. People who are always telling their children how to do things or blaming them for doing things wrong, etc., and sort of snapping their joy in that way.
Yes.
This is in part how we were brought up. There was a lot of criticism in generations past.
And they meant They meant well. But it didn't help.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maitreya says in his book, The Laws of Life, that even children are beginning to challenge the adult world as they respond to the energies of the new age. He says, for example, that in every country, children of soldiers are questioning their fathers about the morality of killing others in their name. Children everywhere are saying that they want to see friendship, humanity, and goodwill throughout the world. And we hear this very, very often. Maitreya says that the young will rebel against the ideologies of the old, and their demands will have impact. And we see that in the marches that are happening in our streets week after week now. Following this new sense of direction. Children are more fearless these days, Annemiek, don't you think, as part of the New Age energies?
So. Yeah, I think so. And I think that's also a result of the way we are parents in these days, as we told about previously, oh God, English, sorry. But
previously.
Previously, I think they dare to do a lot, and it shows that the system is changing already a little bit, that schools are freer as they were before, that parents are having more confidence in themselves and their children more, and so they can give their children the freedom to be careless, to just try to live. We are only here to experience life. That's the only purpose we are here. And we have to be the best person we can be and help our children to be the best persons they can be. And we are always proud on our children, aren't we?
That's for sure. Maitreya says that children are particularly good teachers today because they lack isms. No longer care for capitalism, communism, Christianism. Well, maybe not Christianity. That's a different one. Oh, this English language. But all of these isms, all of these isms, nationalism, socialism, all of these isms are structures of the mind and structures of the ego that in many ways imprison us. We are not a socialist. We are not a communist. We are not a commercialist. We are souls in incarnation. We are people. And sometimes we get caught up in these isms, which no longer are having so much effect on the children.
That's a good thing.
We did want to, I brought up the mechanism that Maitreya has actually been given out to help people to discover who they truly are and to come in greater contact with the indwelling soul that each of us is. And so I'd like to share that with our audience before we leave. It is called A Prayer for the New Age, and it is a great mantra or affirmation which invokes the power of the indwelling soul. The most effective way to use this mantra is to say or think the words with focused will. This is important, to focus the will on the words, because that creates intent, that creates concentration, that creates drive. And in focusing on these words, to hold the attention at the Ajna center, which is in the system of energetic chakras that many of you will be familiar with. The Ajna center is the center between the eyebrows, the energetic center in the human constitution, which is responsible for purpose. So holding that attention there and repeating this mantra seriously every day, Maitreya says that in doing this, if you do this, there will grow inside of you a realization of your true self. So I would like to share that mantra with you now. I will read it for you, and you can also find it on our Facebook page along with references to the Share International website, where there are many, many different other things that you can find out about this prayer. So for those of you who would like to join with me now, I will just make it known to you as our audience. And so I ask you to just take a couple of deep breaths and become centered while I recite for you the prayer for the New Age given by Maitreya. And it goes like this. I am the creator of the universe. I am the father and mother of the universe. Everything comes from me. Everything shall return to me. Mind, spirit, and body are my temples. For the self to realize in them, my supreme being and becoming.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So, yeah, I invite our listeners to go and actually see the words for themselves. This is not some kind of narcissistic, you know, I am the king of the world type thing. This is a true understanding of our nature, our soul nature as gods in becoming. This is who we truly are. And so with these words recited seriously every day, can grow a greater self, the realization of who your greater self and what your greater purpose is. So I invite people to go check that out. We're getting close to wrap-up time, Annemiek, so I just want to invite our listeners. Listeners, if you enjoyed our show today but missed the first show with my guest, Annemiek, be sure to check out Welcome the Little Ones, Part 1, where we talked about how the energies of Maitreya are influencing the awareness of children and how children are different and more conscious today. As we've been talking, more and more of them are showing an intuitive grasp of how we should treat one another in the Aquarian age. Many of them have answers to our greatest problems today and are speaking with a clear voice on how to govern ourselves, our societies, and our world more equitably. So do check this out as well. And there is so much to be said on the topic of the power and the clarity of youth today. Annemiek, do you have any take-home points for our listeners? Any last words you would like to share with us?
Well, I think if you've heard the prayer for the New Age and you think, well, is that true? Just look at your children. Just look at your children, how they get along, how they play, how they get along with one another, how confident they are, how loving they are, and you'll know it's true.
Absolutely. As we were mentioning, another thing Maitreya has said about that is when you look at the children, you are inspired by their grace, their peace and happiness, because their mind, spirit and body are free from isms. Go out and look at the faces of the children. This is a special generation. So Maitreya concurs with you greatly, Annemiek.
Yeah, I totally agree. Most beautiful thing on earth, the children.
I invite our listeners to consult the magazine Share International, which you will find online at the website www.share-international.org. There is a subscription hard copy available, but also the abridged version every month. And very often there are interviews with luminaries, people who have caught the tone for the New Age. And there are many reports there on young people speaking out. Everyone has heard of Malala, the Taliban girl, but there are so many others here who are really, really making a difference. These young voices, this youth at the helm, as Benjamin Krem's master talks about, he is very, very, very engaged in the monthly message that he used to deliver as a master of wisdom through his contact with Benjamin Krem, who was, until his passing last year, chief editor of Share International magazine. So as there is very, very much inspiration there, I invite you to read those messages from a perfected master of the wisdom and to learn more about our great potential as children, as adolescents, as adults at this very, very critical time in history. Thank you very much for being with us today.
And here is a trailer of an award-winning documentary about miracles that are still healing people all over the world.
In this episode, we take you behind the scenes of the documentary, Crosses of Light, Still Glowing and Healing 3 decades later. This episode is a bit different because I, Frances Oman, created the original documentary, and we show you that and a visit to the crosses 19 years later, as well as me interviewed by the host of Planetary Makeover, David Minot, about reports that have come in since. In response to the growing voices of an awakening humanity, we bring you evidence that divine help is at hand to work with us to create a hopeful future that works for everyone.
This morning, I'd like to welcome a very special guest, Frances Oman. Good morning, Frances.
Good morning, Vicki.
Thank you for coming to Point Reyes this morning. Frances is an investigative journalist, author, artist, and documentary producer. And she is in the midst of completing her newest documentary, Countdown to Now, Quantum Leap for Planet Earth. So, Frances, for over 30 years, you've been investigating and documenting improbable events, many of which are considered miracles. You worked as a consultant for Miracle Quest, a series which aired on the Discovery Channel. And the phenomena that you have investigated is quite diverse. Would you please tell our listeners about some of your earlier projects, maybe starting with Crosses of Light?
Yes, Crosses of Light began a couple of decades ago. These beautiful, glowing, holographic crosses appeared in windows in East LA, in the Hispanic community there. And people were reporting having miraculous healings and so on. So I hot-footed it down to Los Angeles from the Bay Area and actually moved down there and even tried to learn Spanish. I speak fluent French and Italian, so Spanish wasn't too much of a challenge. And I almost moved into the community. I really become part of whatever it is that I'm documenting. My background is as a journalist and as an artist, so I have sort of the visionary part of my being, but I also am very committed to the facts. If I have a mission, it's to bring improbable facts about things that seem to be improbable to the attention of people so that they can have the experience of seeing what their own preconceptions are and then maybe moving into something new. That's why this new film that's almost finished, Quantum Leap for Planet Earth, is the subtitle. It's like, how can we make a shift, a whole paradigm shift, not just as individuals, but also as a whole planet, into some kind of a new paradigm? I mean, is it possible to have something as improbable as no more hunger, no more war. Well, everybody knows there's got to be poverty, there'll always be war. Really? Well, with what I've seen and the experiences that I've had of great beings and the miracles that I've documented, and fortunately for me, many of the miracles that I've personally experienced convince me that anything's possible. And so that's my mission, is to bring that out. But I was trained initially as an artist. You know, I mean, you start every painting with a blank canvas. And I'm also a 30-year meditator. And the idea of getting yourself to that place of nothing actually involves heightened awareness of all of, whatever you want to call them, your own delusions, your own glamours, your own made-up things that were your responses to circumstances. And so I've made it a point to be as aware as I can of my incredible frailties and opinions and inability to approach something with a blank canvas. Luckily, that helps.
And how do you conclude whether miracles are real or not?
Well, I'm not the Pope. If I were the Pope, I would say you have to have three miracles. If you have two, you can't be a saint. But if you have three, you can be a saint.
And only that's dependent on a variety of things. I recently read a book about saints and you know, tracking those miracles down.
Yes. However, I have a difference of opinion on many things from the Pope. And but one of them is that when I investigate and I look at some improbable, inexplicable situation, and I say to myself, most of us are deluded. And this one, I'm in Countdown to Now, I look into crop circles and UFOs and all kinds of other things. So I look and see, is there any other explanation? So I go to scientists, I go to doctors. I'm in crosses of light. So many people were healed from these beautiful glowing crosses. I would march to the doctors with them. You know, I got all of their statistics. I had a consulting doctor on the team. I talked to scientists who could tell me about light refraction and diffraction and all that.
Here, the lives of thousands of people have been touched by crosses glowing through the windows of homes in this community. Dramatic changes in people's lives have been reported after they have visited these crosses, and many are claiming to be cured of serious physical diseases and mental problems. Press coverage was a mixture of seriousness and skepticism. Television stations and newspapers reported only on the first two crosses, even though all of the crosses were inspirational to the people closest to them.
On the 20th of May, by the light of a ray, a cross in a window is imprinted, and people are returning where it is appearing, and each day the miracle grows.
Visit us on Facebook at #PlanetaryMakeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org. At our website, we have a link to our bi-weekly live show at 5 p.m. Mondays Pacific Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At our website, we also have a link to our archives and a selection of our shows. For more background info, visit www.shareinternationalwest.org. That's shareinternational-west.org. For related books and DVDs and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher, please go to share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com. We also invite you to watch another show that we really love entitled, What in the World is Happening? And that show, which you don't want to miss, is produced by Share International Canada.
Please view episodes of
What in the World is Happening? On demand at youtube.com/@messageofhopeweekly. It will be live streaming mostly on the second Saturday of every month at the Share International Canada Facebook page.